Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo Q3 2008 Investor Conference Call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the third quarter 2008 Investor Conference Call of Amerigo Resources LTD on Friday, November 7th, 2008. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued earlier today and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business, Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our chairman, Mr. Stephen Dean.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Q3 2008 conference call for Amerigo. Present on the call is our president, Dr. Klaus Deitler, our CFO, Ms. Aurora Davidson, Michael Kuder, and myself. We will follow our normal convention with the call by me making some opening remarks and then handing the call over to Dr. Deitler, who will give us a brief operations review, and then we'll be happy to throw the call open to questions, and we'll endeavor to deal with those in due course. Before we get to the specifics of our operational performance for the quarter, I'd like to make the following remark, that in both Klaus and my combined total of over 60 years of experience in this business, we have never seen a market adjustment in terms of metal prices as well as stock market adjustments of this magnitude in such a compressed period. What this has meant for our industry and for business generally, I believe, is major adjustments that management needs to take into account in managing its business, obviously with falling revenues, but also, perhaps even more importantly, the speed with which management can pursue the cost reductions that are being generated as a result of a number of key input costs being driven down as part of the same downward trend of the cycle. And those key input factors include obviously the oil price, which will be a driver not so much for Amerigo but for companies with mining operations. But in turn, oil price has an effect on energy prices, particularly in countries like Chile, where in recent times we've been very dependent upon diesel-fired gensets, which fuel the grid in Chile, the national grid in Chile, and that's a key component to the pricing of the marginal power costs that we pay under our contract. Significant falls in a very short period of time, even from September to November, in steel prices, and steel is significant if not only for its large percentage of our costs in the form of steel balls that go into our ball mills for the purpose of grinding the material that we treat. Bulk shipping will also have a factor, not so much this year, but certainly going into next year. Massive falls in the cost per ton of bulk shipping, which we reflected in marketing and smelter and refining costs. All of these factors are at various paces and at various rates of change going to be factored into not just Amerigo's operating costs, but obviously the industry worldwide. In addition, Amerigo has a number of its own unique circumstances, including the commissioning of its new generators under its self-generation project, which will have an effect on our operations, as well as the potential ramp-up of production. Offset, of course, also by lower byproduct costs in the form of moly credits. Perhaps Klaus will address some of these issues in more detail, but I wanted to just set the stage in my opening remarks by saying these are the challenges that all base metal producers are dealing with right now, and it is up to management to take advantage of these changes in input costs, as well as to optimize under very different circumstances from as recently as Q2, very different operating circumstances. In the Q3 quarter, we reported an operating profit of just over $1.1 million and a net loss of 10.4. That net loss of 10.4 is primarily driven by a write-down of the magnitude of $12.2 million, which represents a decision by the company to write down the carrying value of its strategic investments in two copper exploration and development companies, Los Andes and Candente. Also in that result were two other major factors. One, of course, was negative settlement adjustments, which relate to the Q3 period of around $3 million on the copper, mainly on the copper price adjustment. And in addition to that, we're pleased to say that we signed a new 4-year collective labor agreement for our workers at NBC, and that was a charge of just over $1.7 million for the Q3 period. In my books, that's a one-off cost, and in many ways, it's an enduring benefit over the next 4 years. But our accountants and auditors tell us we have to take that expense under today's accounting rules in this current period. So the point of all that was that there was some fairly lumpy numbers that are running through net earnings, net loss number, which has driven the $10.4 million loss. In the same period, our cash flow from operating activities was $7.6 million. Our production in the period was a record 10.2 million pounds of copper and 261,000 pounds of moly, an increase of 27% in copper production and a 70% increase in moly production from the corresponding period in 2007. The copper price that we recognized for the period was $2.81, and that's effectively what the price was at the end of the quarter. That's effectively how the accounting for the copper price works in the quarter's financial results. Our cash costs were before the El Teniente royalty was $1.60. That's quite a bit down from the $1.78 in the corresponding period of last year. And if you excluded the one-time labor costs, there was a signing bonus that we expensed in the Q3 period that I mentioned earlier. The cash costs were an adjusted $1.43 a pound in that quarter. Our total costs were also a little lower than the corresponding period at $2.40. It's also important to remember that in that $2.40 number is a component of 65 cents representing the El Teniente royalty, and of course that will trend substantially lower as the current with the current metal prices. Power costs trended lower as well during the period, down to around 17 cents a kilowatt hour from 21 cents in the previous corresponding period. Cash flow from operating activities for the 9 months of the year to date was just under $18 million compared to $24 million in the 2007 period. And in the immediate past quarter of Q3, we spent just under $6 million from cash flow on CapEx, which primarily was related to the self-generation project. And then we also increased our investment in Los Andes by $1.8 million by participating in a financing of that company, and of course we paid the dividend to shareholders of $5.7 million or 6.5 cents per share. All of those expenditures during the quarter were funded from cash or cash flow. At this point I'd like to invite Klaus to make any comments he may wish to offer in relation to the operating parameters, and of course he may wish to add to his view of the industry and the challenges that we all face. Thanks, Klaus.
I guess you made the major points already. I just want to add that as we have reported, this quarter was a record production quarter, both for copper and for moly, and we certainly expect that that this will continue for the rest of the year. This is mainly due to very good tailings, fresh tailings, which we receive in terms of quality. So we have good recoveries, we have good grades, and particularly we have the copper in the fraction, which gives us the best recoveries. It is also due to the fact that we have been further ramping up the production from Colibas, and this is continuing to happen as we speak. So these were the main reasons for the better, significantly better production. Of course, we also have to remember that in the first half of the year we had all the problems with the subcontractors' strikes at the Codelco operations, which had significant effect on our production, and all that was absent in the third quarter. So really the third quarter was for a long time a very normal production quarter, and that is the result of normality in the operating area. I guess that's all I'd like to say at this point about the operations. Stephen mentioned the further reduction of power costs. I'd like to mention, though, that with respect to costs, the third quarter, despite the better overall cost situation, which we show, which is mainly due to the good production numbers, However, the input costs have further increased substantially. So, for instance, between the second and the third quarter, input costs for balls and for reagents, we saw a further increase from the second quarter of approximately 40%, a very significant increase. But as was said, despite of this increase, we were able to reduce the unit production costs. I guess that's all, Stephen. I want to say with respect to production and the cost figure. Of course, everybody is aware about the dire situation in the industry, and I just like to add that what Stephen was saying with respect to the development in a very condensed period of time of prices and of the stock market itself. I mean, just recently this was even further exemplified by the fact that for instance the molybdenum prices within 1 week jumped from a price of about $25 to $10 to $11 in a period from Monday to Friday. So we are experiencing a very very rapid changes in prices, but not only in the sales prices of our products, but also in input prices.
Thanks, Bob. Operator, we're now happy to throw the call open to questions.
Oh, certainly. We'll now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. To register, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for their questions. Thank you for your patience. Our first question is from Tom Meyer from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Hello, Klaus and Stephen. Could you give us a little bit of guidance as to what the progress is on the Colliways ramp up in the 3Q, and then what it looks like as we roll out into the fourth quarter and next year?
We were averaging about 15,000 by the end of the quarter. We are hoping that in the last quarter we can increase that to a plus 20,000 ton per day operation, and then we are expecting to receive the high pressure pumps, which are very much better suited to our operations than the ones which we are using at the present time, by the end of this year, and this should give us the possibility then to ramp up to our capacity numbers.
Okay, is there any additional capital required for the newer high pressure pumps, and is there any more money that needs to be spent on the self generation program?
As I'm sure you know of many companies who in this environment are reducing all their capital expenditure projects, so are we looking at everything what is necessary or not necessary. And the two projects which at the present time we are continuing to complete, that is the capacity increase through these pumps in the for the Colibas operation and the completion of the generators. And these are the only major capital projects which we are still working on.
So what are the numbers that are the capital numbers for both that are being reconsidered possibly?
We need another $2 million dollars for the completion of the generators and approximately the same amount for the pumps.
Okay, and then finally, before I pass it on, what is the volume of copper and molybdenum outstanding that are still subject to settlement, are provisionally priced, and what are those prices that they were booked at the end of the 3Q?
Well, as Stephen was saying, and as is mentioned in our press release, they were booked at $2 and...
$2.81. And was there a volume attached to that?
You mean the? Well, it's the production volume of our third quarter.
So all of it is outstanding and subject to.
Yeah. Because the contract, well, yeah, it's even more because the contract is M+4.
Okay, got it. Thanks. I'll pass it on.
And just to be clear, they those adjustments come due month by month over the next 4 months.
Thank you. Following questions from Jason Chack from Milwaukee. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Hey, a pair of questions for you. I saw you added some debt, and it looks like it was denominated in Chilean pesos in the quarter. What was that? What were those funds used for?
Working capital.
Okay.
Principally because, as we've said in the report, we spent significant amounts on our capital projects, and the company has no long-term bank debt, and so that was deemed at the time to be the appropriate way to fund the timing differences between receivables on sales and payables, and then of course the capital expenditures on the project that we've referred to earlier in this call.
Okay. Then can you guys maybe justify a little bit here, with your stock trading at less than 2x cash flow, you saw fit to go out and spend $1 million on Los Andes instead of reinvesting that in your own stock or using that to reduce the debt burden here on the company. So what are you seeing in Los Andes that that you're not seeing in Amerigo?
Well, I think the answer to that is we don't have a single A good business strategy is to have a number of strings to our business strategy going forward. And of course, we did buy back stock in the quarter in the year to September, and that's reported in the financial statements. We also invested in capital projects, and we also invested in what is effectively our form of exploration on new emerging projects, which take the form, in our case, of an investment in an exploration development company like Los Andes, that's basically what good base metal companies do is try to keep a balance of allocating your capital, managing your capital across both taking advantage of the issue of buyback, investment in existing operations and expansion of existing operations, and then an exploration bet on the longer, medium to longer term on new projects going forward.
Okay, and that debt that you guys took out is coming due already in December, and it's not exactly a low rate piece of paper. What are you going to do to refinance that? Are you guys looking to add a revolving line of credit here, or?
Yeah.
And how far are you on those negotiations?
Well, as we said, we're in negotiations. We're well progressed.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 if you have a question. Following question is from Stephen Autridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. Just when do you expect the generators to be up and running?
Hello?
First one should be starting in December, and the second one in January.
Okay, so pretty soon. Okay.
Yeah.
The other question is about the steel balls, and what kind of expenditures do you put out per quarter on buying the steel balls?
Okay.
Or how much do they work into the cost per pound? Perhaps that's another way of looking at it.
Well, they in the third quarter, just to give you an idea, in the third quarter, they were about 13% of our production costs. That's just pure production costs, excluding things like maintenance and administration costs. So they are significantly less than the power costs, but still they are the second largest item in our pure production costs, and as I said, they, together with the reagents, increased by about 40% in comparison to Q2. Now, we do see already a reduction in these costs, so certainly, the purchases which we will make in Q4 will have lower costs than the ones we used for Q3.
Okay. Another question. You said Collar West is going to be getting up to 20,000 tons a day on the way to total capacity. What is the total capacity you're looking for?
Well, the maximum capacity which we are allowed under the contract is 45,000.
Okay. Okay, that'll do for me for the time being.
Thank you. Following question is from Greg Mitchell from Nome. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just one follow-up on the strategic investments. Would you be, and some of the other questions have kind of alluded to the fact that you're not in a position really to be reinvesting now, but would you revisit the fact of going after some Chariot Resources stock at these low prices?
I think there are potentially, depending on your view on the copper price and based on the sweet generally, I think there are a lot of good value out there, including Chariot, but would that be a priority for us? No.
Okay, if I could ask another question. The gentleman already asked the question about the commissioning of the power plants, which is good news. If things get worse, which it sounds like they are heading that direction regarding from what I've heard on the financial stations and regarding the slowdown in China, are they at a stage or do they have the capabilities of going in a basically a stockpile mode versus an actual production mode? Or is that kind of, would somebody else fill that void and you wouldn't want to do that? Do you understand my question?
No, not completely. When you say stockpile mode, you mean production and stockpile the copper concentrates or moly concentrates?
Well, basically, put them on hold. You would do the collection process and then put them on hold until the price increases, which, by the way, historically, the prices are still pretty good. I mean, but is that a possibility?
Yeah, so in other words, what you are saying is you continue to produce, but you don't sell.
Yes.
Well, that would mean that you continue to incur significant cost, and you don't have any revenue at that point.
Exactly. Okay.
In that case, of course, it would be a more meaningful way of closing down the operation and not incurring the cost, and starting when things get better.
Right, you'd be sawing off your nose, exactly. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Following questions from Trevor Heaver from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Good morning. You've indicated that you're pretty well committed to the $4 million for the pumps and power. You haven't made any other comments about other capital expenses and expenses that you might be able to defer. I'd be interested in comments on that, please.
I don't know, you did respond to that earlier, but do you want to give that the answer to that question again?
With respect to... sorry, you are referring to other operating costs, or...?
The question was, what are we doing about other capital costs other than the power, the generators, and the...
As I said, these are the only two projects which we are pursuing.
Do you have other maintenance capex requirements ongoing, or are they now down at a very, very low level?
Well, we of course you always have some maintenance requirements, but again that would fall under the same category that we will reduce them to the absolute minimum that we need to do. And our normal maintenance capital has always been, very, very limited already.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered. I'd like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Dean for his closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Thanks, everybody, for listening in, and thanks for your questions. I hope we dealt with them adequately. And we live in very interesting times, and you can be assured that the management of this company is using all of our 60-plus years of experience in this industry to respond and optimize our business in the next 12 months. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. Please disconnect your lines and thank you for your participation.